You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Gorgeous day down here as the Iron Bowl has arrived on the plains. We have already spoken to Coach Brown, and he is ready to go in his first Iron Bowl as the Auburn football coach. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Grace is up next in Birmingham. Grace, go right ahead.
I've tried not to call this season, but the coach, we got rid of Gus. Now it's time for Hart because I'm 76. I shouldn't have to go through this week after week with Auburn. That's South Carolina, 4th and 1. He threw a pass. I just never seen anything like it before in my life. He's from Boise State. The grass is blue there. He don't know nothing about the SEC. We need to get someone, Auburn, wake up. Get someone that know how to coach for the SEC territory. Now, I've been tempted to go down to Auburn and help coach, but I don't think I could take being down there. They would probably call the police on me.
You said you're 76, is that right?
Right, a war eagle, my blood, orange and blue. But listen, Gus, he nearly gave me a heart attack. We finally got rid of him. This guy, Harson, I just never could put my finger on. He's too not like Saban. Saban is up and down the sideline, just, you know, into it. But we had 4th and 1 that we could have won that game in South Carolina. But he had this guy to throw a pass. Now, how dumb was that? Our running back was up and down that field that day, last Saturday. So, this is first Iron Bowl, Coach Harson. It'll be your last.
Okay, well, Grace, thank you. I don't even know how to respond, but I hope you have a great weekend, Grace, and enjoy the game. Tony is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tony.
How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. I just want to call and let you guys know that I am a true Alabama fan. I've been an Alabama fan since the day I was born, and I am a very grateful Alabama fan, very grateful Nick Saban fan. Thank you, Nick Saban, for being here coaching. He made Alabama football relevant again, and just thank you for doing that.
Tony, thank you. Dominique is up next in Jacksonville. Hey, Dominique, go right ahead.
Paul, what you doing, Paul? How you doing, Paul?
Dominique, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Paul, you know, I want to say this. You know, Roman Harper is one of my brother's ex-teammates at Alabama, Marcus McKnight. We was there with Coach Franzoni, gave my brother a scholarship out of Callahan, Florida. Then we got Mark Price. Us Alabama fans, we are ungrateful. I agree with Coach Saban 100%. We have been fed a title to be winning all the time. I remember going with my brother when we was winning 6 or 5 games. In his junior year, we won the Cotton Bowl. We won 11. That was Mike Shula's second or third year there. I think Coach Saban hit the nail on the head. We got to be appreciated for this team. We are young. We lost a lot of guys off our team last year, Paul. That some of these bandwagon fake fans start joining the team when we start winning. You know it, and I know it.
Well, Dominique, hold on a second. Thanks for the call, but Alabama, like Griffith said, Alabama's been winning. I mean, they won national championships under a half a dozen coaches, so this has been something that's really been going on a very long time. Big Dog is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Big Dog.
Mr. Paul Feinbaum, how you doing, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a Georgia graduate, and just wanted to talk just a little bit about the old-fashioned hate. Sometimes we don't get a lot of coverage. This game's certainly been going on for a long time. 113th median. 68, 39, and 5 overall for the Dogs. Go Dogs.
Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hey, Elliot, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I got two comments, a prediction for the Auburn game. But first of all, I wanted to ask you if you saw my sign on game day. It said, hey, Feinbaum, the SEC is overrated.com. That's my website. And my prediction, Auburn 31, Alabama 27. I think that's I think that was Nick's cry out to say they're not going to win this game.
Ben is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ben.
How you doing, Paul?
Ben, we are doing great. Thank you.
I was just wondering if you think Lane Kiffin would be a good fit for Florida, and if offered a job, you think he'd take it?
Well, I think what Lane Kiffin has proven this year is that he could win anywhere. I don't know if he'll be offered it. Griffiths told my Griffiths told us a minute ago he thought the job was going to Billy Napier. I don't know that. I'm not really plugged in day to day on what Florida is thinking about. Although I do think Napier has been the coach to keep your eye on. Richard is up next in Florida. Hello, Richard. You are on the air.
Thank you. First time caller. Watch your show regularly.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of Kentucky of all schools, and not a big Alabama rooter. But Mike, who you had on right before the break, just got my blood boiling. The only thing that he said, I hated his style, number one. The only thing he said that I think has merit is the business about gamblers who bet the wrong way are probably likely to get their blood boiling. Believe it or not, being a longtime Kentucky fan, a similar thing has happened there. Fans very much get their expectations way out of whack. And it's happened at Kentucky this year. And for the reason that the previous caller just made, it's happened at Alabama. And they get loud and they get ugly and they say stuff that's just stupid.
Well, I think that's really fans everywhere right now.
I agree.
And I think gambling has an effect, but it has a more profound effect, Richard, at the more successful schools. So, I wonder though. Ultimately, Nick Saban is one of those coaches that can afford to say whatever he wants. He's got the credibility, but it's a dangerous road to go down for some schools. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Red Dog is up next. Hello, Red Dog.
If it is true, Christmas has come early in Athens. It has been reported that George Pickens will be playing tomorrow. If he's back, holy crap. Bama, you don't have a shot. That's the best wide receiver we've had in Athens since A.J. Green. You know I'm right, Paul. But see if you can confirm that.
Well, I have heard that he would definitely be back for next week. Now, I don't know whether he'll play tomorrow or not, but I don't know what Kirby's philosophy on that is.
We had somebody
on 2 weeks ago who said he thought he would be back for Atlanta, so I don't think that's a big surprise. Cat Daddy is up next. Hey, Cat Daddy.
Hey, Big Paul, looking good, sounding good. Listen, I want to just congratulate the SEC Network on one of the greatest announcers and prognosticators, Mr. Roman Harper. That man is a genius, picking the Gamecocks over them little pussycats up there in Clemson.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Well, thank you for the call on that. That's can't wait for that game tomorrow night. That is certainly one we are all looking forward to. James is up next in Alabama. Hey, James.
Paul, the funny thing about fans, most of them haven't done much coaching. But I will tell you, the same coach that had the Auburn Tigers at 6-2 now has them at 6-5. Oddly enough, he hasn't snapped the first football or thrown the first pass or made the first tackle. And not to fault our players, but I believe he managed to find some in a portal, one from Vanderbilt and another from Northwestern, as reported earlier in the year. And our prior football coach that left and went to UCF, when he was being asked questions by reporters down there, I recall hearing him say that last year, which was his eighth, was composed of the least experienced players he had had, or the least experienced team he had had in the 8 years he had been there. Now, I don't think that was K. Paul Finebaum's fault. Do you?
I don't think so, no.
And I don't believe it was my fault.
Well,
I think it was.
I mean, Gus Malzahn did a pretty poor job of recruiting his last couple of years. I mean, we all know that.
So shouldn't we give Coach Brian Harsin, a man that I perceive as...
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. We are live in Auburn and down in Gainesville. Robert Griffin III is joining us, part of the broadcast team for Florida State in Florida. Robert, great to have you back with us. Always a pleasure. And this is such an unusual situation here with Dan Mullen out, but both teams really in desperate need of a win. Good afternoon, and tell us what you're looking forward to tomorrow.
Hey, Paul, as always, a pleasure to be on the show with you. And you're right. You know, Dan Mullen being out is just a weird situation for this rivalry game. You know, it's hate week. And the reception since he's been gone for him has been great. The players love him. The coaches enjoy working with him, as far as I've, you know, been told and talked to the coaches this week. But really, I'm just looking forward to see what type of energy this Gator team comes out with. Because they're going to be facing a team in Florida State that's hot on a two-game winning streak. Jordan Travis is playing well, and their defense with Jermaine Johnson and Kier Thomas are wreaking havoc on opposing quarterbacks. So to see how Emory Jones, maybe we'll see a little bit of Anthony Richardson, and then just to see how, you know, Florida's defense, Zachary Carter and Britton Cox Jr., Diabate, the linebacker, number 11, and Kair Elam, number 5, the corner. They've got talent all over the place, so just to see how they come out and what energy they play with.
Robert, as you've reflected back and looked at film of this Florida team, what do you think has gone wrong down the stretch?
Yeah, you know, I put on the tape thinking I was going to watch a team that, you know, wasn't giving much effort, wasn't executing at a high level, and I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I watched Emory Jones go through his progressions, make throws, use his legs, run the ball well. Jacob Copeland, wide receiver, making nice catches. Justin Shorter doing the same. And then on defense, they were swarming to the ball. I mean, you know, Missouri's running back, one of the best in the country, right? And they held him to 11 yards rushing in the first half. You know, obviously he finished with 146 yards and broke it open in the second half. But for three quarters, they executed at a high level. So I don't know what quite it was that you could put your finger on, but for some reason, the ball has not bounced their way. You know, we saw them earlier in the year almost beat Alabama, and they were ranked really high early on in the season. And just as of late, it's all fallen apart for them, and that's why now you have Greg Knox as the interim head coach, and Dan Mullen's out of there.
Robert, Griffin III joining us. Robert, I've asked you this before, but I feel like you have such an interesting perspective on the Heisman, having done what you did a decade ago and win it, really. And it feels like I felt like you won it late. As we look at the field now, we're really only two weekends away from having to vote. It seems like it's now down to two to three people with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. Who else do you think could still factor into this?
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. It's been an interesting race. You know, we saw Matt Corral go out last night and play well, but nothing that would make you say, okay, that was a Heisman moment for him. But we did see C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young have really just unbelievable performances last week. And I think it's really down to those two guys as to who's going to win it all. And it's going to be this weekend, a championship weekend, that decides that. So I don't know if we've ever had the Heisman go this far or this late into the season, as in who's the favorite, who's going to win it. The year that we won it at Baylor, yeah, we stormed down the path the last, you know, five, six games of the year and really turned it on. But we didn't have a championship game to play, so we kind of sat out that weekend. And this year, you know, I just look at it and I'm like, man, C.J. Stroud, the way they just, you know, dismantled Michigan State, and then Bryce Young going out and throwing for 500 yards, and what was it, six touchdowns? I mean, five touchdowns. These guys were just on another planet. And I think right now those are the guys that are leading the way, and it's going to come down to how they play these last 2 weeks. Whoever plays the best, I believe, will win the Heisman.
It seems like, Robert, that Stroud certainly has the moment this week. It's the biggest, probably it is the biggest game of the year. And then next week we will have another one of those biggest games of the year. So do you think it is in the moment that both need, or it's just, you know, consistency and winning the game too?
Yeah, I don't think winning is going to be enough. You know, if they lose the game, you know, it just sucks. You hate to say it, but it kind of puts a cap on their Heisman possibilities. But when you talk about C.J. Stroud and the game that they have this week against Michigan, he's got to shine, right? He's got to play at a super high level, you know, have another one of those games like he did against Michigan State. Because, yes, Bryce Young might not have that opportunity this week, but then the following week he is going to have that opportunity. And it's really going to come down to who has – the biggest moment and the biggest splash plays. If they throw for 500 yards and an interception and lose, it's not going to matter. People aren't going to like that taste in their mouth of going and voting for them after they see them play and lose a game. So I think CJ's got to maximize this week, play really, really well, and then hope that Bryce Young doesn't play better in the SEC championship game than he did against Michigan.
Robert Griffin III, many, many thanks. We'll be watching tomorrow. Always appreciate your time, Robert.
Hey, Paul, I got one more thing for you.
Sure.
Okay. Now, you talked about who's Florida's next head coach should be, and I got an outlier for you if you have a little bit of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so my outlier is this. I think the Gators should hire Tim Tebow. I think they have to think outside the box for their next head coaching hire. And the word out there was that Dan Mullen wasn't in love with recruiting. He wasn't in love with the process of those things. But who's going to really out-recruit Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Jimbo Fisher, right? So if you throw Tim Tebow in there, surround him with the structure, have about three or four previous head coaches on his staff to help him figure out the vision of his program, that's going to bring excitement to the Florida Gators. It's going to have players be intrigued, excited about going into Gainesville and recreating that culture that they had oh so long ago. And we've seen that structure with a guy like Deion Sanders before. Now, I know Tebow has no coaching experience, but coaches don't have to be X's and O's guys. They have to be motivators, right? And that's what Tim Tebow does best. He motivates guys, he leads, and he can be a figurehead for the Florida Gators moving forward to say, that's our guy. Not only is he going to recruit, but he's going to inspire you to be better. And I think that's more so what they need, as opposed to one of these other coaches who's going to come in and try to rebuild the program from the ground up, but might not be able to out-recruit those guys.
Robert, I have to tell you, we've had our issues in the past about certain philosophical differences about teams and coaches. I agree with you completely. There's no bigger name. There's no bigger person. And And we both know Tim quite well, and you know, he's the most passionate person I've ever met. So he was just here an hour ago. He's standing not too far from where I am. Do you want me to go tell him he's the guy or what?
Yeah, go tell him. Listen, I'm going to be there at the game tomorrow. Tell him he's the guy. And if he doesn't want the job, I'll take the job. I'll be excited and a lot of fun. But I really do. I just think that head coaches nowadays with the transfer portal and the way the game is changing, they don't have to be X's and O's guys. They have to be a figurehead that guys can look up to. And I think Tim Tebow would be that for the Florida Gators.
Robert, you're totally I really, really love what you said. Hey, thanks so much. It's great to have you. And we'll be watching tomorrow, and I can't wait to see you soon.
Hey, appreciate you, Paul. I'm glad we turned over a new leaf today.
Oh, wow. What a great comment. Robert Griffith III joining us, and we are coming back. We have another 2.5 hours to go. We're live in Auburn.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Roman Harper has joined us.
Thank you, Paul.
It is good to see you, Roman, and you're home again.
I am home.
This guy never leaves Alabama. He was here the other day.
You can take me out of the state, but you can't take the state out.
Listen, now we're really close to you here.
This is like right next door to my hometown. You're right. My in Prattville, it's like, what, 45 minutes?
Now, maybe? I have to ask you this, Roman, and then we'll get to some current issues, but You played ball in Prattville. Prattville, Montgomery, that's a lot of Auburn fans.
It's all Auburn, yes.
If you had gone to Auburn, you'd be set for life.
Until Auburn all of a sudden started losing all the games. Because when I was in college, we didn't beat Auburn. It was Auburn's all the time. And Coach Tuberville and those guys had it all rolling. And we were just looking up to Auburn all these years. And now I get all the laughs because Alabama's on top and Nick Saban is – created and changed all the landscape of the SEC, where now you can no longer win 8 games and keep your job. You have to win 9, 10. You got to go for an SEC championship. And the eyes and the minds of everybody in Alabama is always chasing Alabama. And it's because of Nick Saban. It's this standard that he's created. And he just had a big rant about it just earlier this week because he's all mad about the fans.
What's he mad about?
He's just ticked off by the fans. And I don't blame him. I'm just glad he said it because he has – the ability to say it, he has the power to say it.
But, Roman, these fans, they pay money to go to these games.
That's fine. But just because you pay money or you have an opinion or a mouth doesn't mean anything.
He said something that was interesting. He said, these are not professional athletes. Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
His quarterback's making $1 million a year. He's a professional.
They are not professional athletes. Don't you pander to this crowd. They are not professional athletes. They make mistakes, and they want to win just as much as everybody else does. He was so right about that. And all these guys that have these
dreams. What did you make at Alabama in 4 or 5 years?
I'm not going to discuss that on this program.
Because he went to Alabama about – were you there when they got nailed?
I was there when we got nailed, yes. Yes.
When he was at Alabama, I was just a cub reporter. The head of the NCAA infractions committee said, you guys are looking down the barrel of a gun. We almost gave you the
death penalty. Yes, very
so
true.
So don't tell me you guys weren't being paid. Hey,
we're not going to discuss this today, Paul. I'm not going to let you pander to me in this crowd. Not happening. Look, what Nick said was great because he – fans have these crazy expectations and these unrealistic things and that they feel like the players owe them. That's what he wants to get rid of. Stop thinking these players owe you this victory. They work hard to win for their teammates and their families and to represent the names on the back of their jerseys. Of course, they love the fans and everything that they're there for and they represent. But they don't owe them anything, and that's what you kind of got to get away from. These fans, they actually think that these players
Well, he described the fans as being self-absorbed.
They are self-absorbed because they feel like because they put all their emotions in on a Saturday that if the team doesn't win by a certain amount, not just win.
You know I'm going to defend the fans.
I understand that. The fans are the fine bombers. They are. They are your people. And
these are the people
are them,
who
– And they are you. I agree.
But Roman, the fans, these good folks behind us and watching and listening – they're the ones that go to Walmart after the game and buy all the
yes, all the gear.
They buy all the gear.
Just don't say they put money in my pocket as a college student because they do not exactly.
But they support Bo Nix's Milo's tea deal. I mean, the fans are more important. I mean, Nick Saban is making $10 million a year.
Correct.
But the fans are – good, hard-working folks.
Yes, and they pay his salary. Now, the fans do contribute and pay for his salary.
Well, yeah,
yes.
I think they do.
But you got to understand, though, when I was there, they were happy just for a win. It's not about wins.
Well, you picked the worst 4 years in Alabama history.
And you're probably right about that. We're not good. It's okay. I love how you won't even look at me right now. You just keep looking back there. You just keep going.
Well, I'm not leaving here. I bought a one-way ticket down to Auburn.
I just wish these fans would have heard what you said to me in the car about Auburn and all this other stuff. But we're not going to go there either.
That's when Tuberville was here.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's different now with Harsin. I totally understand that. And we can get to that, too. But I like what Nick said. He set a certain amount of tone, and he doesn't back off of it, and he shouldn't apologize for it. And I agree with him 1,000% because I know Alabama's fans, when we were just happy to win by 3 points. And now, if you don't win by 28 or cover the spread, because everybody likes to bet on Alabama, then they're ticked off or mad, and they're unsatisfied. Like, you guys didn't win by enough.
Well,
not just
listen,
win, but win by
if
enough.
I'm an Alabama fan, and I do whatever fans do, work hard 6-7 days a week, and I put my $100 down, and Alabama's loafing in the fourth quarter, and they don't cover the spread. Yeah, I'm pretty mad.
I mean, you should pick a better bet.
It's your job to win me money.
That is how they feel, Paul. That is exactly how they feel. And I think we have to break away from that just a little bit. And I'm cool with it. And as a fan,
you should have the ability to yell.
The
state
and
of Alabama per capita is the most heavily bet state for college football in the country.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
It does not surprise me. Even bigger than Texas and all these other places.
Per capita. Yeah.
It's because you have Alabama, who's a constant bet.
Well, Auburn's pretty big.
Auburn is a great bet.
I mean, what do you think they do at this stadium over here? Play volleyball? Come on. There's 90,000 seats over there.
Hey, look, I remember when I took my visit to Auburn, I came here on a Georgia weekend. It was great. It was actually an amazing atmosphere. The eagle flying around was something that you could not pass up. And I almost decided to come here. I love Tommy Tuberville as a coach at the time. And I almost decided to go there, but I chose Alabama because of the defensive back coach.
Okay. And just for the record, you had a great professional career. It worked out.
It did work out for me. And I won a lot more money in the NFL betting my teammates because of Alabama anyways. So I would have lost a lot more if I was Auburn. So it worked out for me in the long end, too.
I'm just trying to see what kind of time we have left to continue this.
All right, well, let's hear. Let's go here because let's talk about Auburn. We're here. Let's talk about them. And sometimes they're lofty or they have this false sense of sometimes of where they're at, too. I really like what Brian Harsin has done this year in the first year coach. I think he's had some really great moves. I thought he's coached well. Now, I've had some questionable decisions personally on some of these fourth down calls that they've had this year. Three in particular, the Penn State game with the rollout pass to Bo Nix. Just give it to Tank Bigsby. Like, I don't think coaches and we all don't understand in the moment, you want this best COVID call, this is what we practice. Whereas a fan, when it doesn't work out, the fans are mad. But the fans are never mad if you just give the ball to your best player. They're like, okay, well, at least they gave it to
Cover the spread.
And cover the spread, if you're Alabama specifically. But then
Auburn fans, do you guys bet? Does anybody bet? No. Auburn fans don't bet. Auburn fans are different. They genuinely love their school.
They do. They have
to.
And they're used to riding the ups and downs of Auburn.
They're not like some other fans.
I agree. I don't think you're wrong with that at all. But the other call I would say is the fake punt versus Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
I just don't get that one. And then this past week when they went for it again, I didn't understand that one either. I was just like, sometimes you're being aggressive at the wrong moments and you're allowing teams, you allowed South Carolina to come back and go and score, and then it kind of flipped the whole game. So these are things that Coach Harsin and his staff have to get in better and have to learn how to manage these moments. And if they do that, they're going to be fine. But Auburn as a whole, as a university, has always been an 8-win program. And then every 3 to 5 years, they break out and have some championship run. You guys are 8-4 program. There's nothing wrong with that. That used to be okay. It's no longer okay. Am I being disrespectful? I don't care. I'm in Auburn.
I do. That did seem like a put down to me. I mean,
Alabama was less than that when I was there.
Well, nobody remembers. I mean, when I think of Auburn football, I think of the great Pat Dye years.
Yes.
I think of Tuberville's run.
Love Tuck.
I've tried to forget Bowden, by the way. I'm sorry.
Terry Bowden was pretty good.
He was undefeated his first year.
Yeah, pretty good.
But we don't talk about that. Coach Chizik was undefeated. He'll be here later.
Isn't that crazy how every single one of these coaches you're naming all had this magical run?
Every Auburn coach.
Within 3 to 5 years, all have a run.
Really? Every single Auburn coach has had that moment.
Yes, every single one of them. So it's in there.
Pat Dye should have won a national championship in 83 and probably I always thought he had the best team in, what was it, 87? 88? Can't remember one of those years.
I was like 4 years old, Paul. I don't know. But, I mean, you can talk to them about that.
I am talking. I didn't know. We're not even on the air right now, are we? See, that's the problem I have with you, Roman. I sometimes forget we are on the air.
You're right, and we get up here and we just talk like we just willy-nilly this thing and just make it up as
we
go.
We're just like sitting around after the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, like we don't have a plan or like a show thing that we have to talk about. So it is – I like that. But I just still can't get over how 8-4, 9 wins – the Gator Bowl, that's no longer good anymore. The players have higher expectations. The bowl games mean less depending on where you're trying to go to.
Well, but
so how do you continue to hold and change on?
I think there's a reason for that, if I could answer for the fans. We live now in a who's in the top four mentality.
Right.
And if you're not part of that, you take a back seat.
Right.
And you get frustrated. And it starts from the opening weekend of the year.
Yes.
And when
they have you on ESPN. They say, all right, Paul, who's your top four
exactly.
After week one? And you're like, it doesn't even matter. You can just name any team, and they're all probably going to lose a game.
Yeah.
So it gets very frustrating. And it has dulled it down, and it's watered down the product so much. But I'm just still very appreciative of all these young men that come out there, that lay it on the line, that actually go to class every day and have to put in more work than when you do at the other end of it, which is in the pros, which is your ultimate goal, when all you got to do is play ball and go home all every day. But here you have to do so many other things to try and maintain and actually get to that point. So I really appreciate that. I think Auburn's done a great job. I think they have to continue to recruit. And when Auburn's been their best versions of themselves, they've always – Alabama's been a tight battleground. They're always competitive with Alabama in the recruiting trail. So they have to try and lock that down. I don't know how Harsin continues to build on that. Being from out of the state, that he doesn't have the lockdown. And you got to build those relationships with those high school coaches.
No, I think in candor, and I like Harsin like you do, I think he's got to figure that out. You can't figure it out when you land here in, you know, he didn't get here early in the cycle. He got here around Christmas, and there's no time.
No,
because
none.
Recruiting is almost over.
Yes.
And I think it's really a matter of what he does now, and, you know, he needs to improve the recruiting. He knows that.
And you got to win some of these big games. When you win, they'll come. They will start showing up at your door. And you also got to go into Georgia and get those players out of Georgia. You got to go into Georgia. You got to tap into Florida. And you got to do more inside the state of Alabama when it comes to the top-tier recruits. And if you do that, you'll be just fine. And you'll have your championship run every 3 to 5 years like this program does. But if not, they're going to be a middle of the road. And everybody else in the SEC is getting better. And you got a tough schedule because you got to play Georgia every year. You don't get a break. And Georgia's at the top of the top right now. So you got Alabama and Georgia. That's two losses. If you don't come in, bring it right every year, that's two losses. LSU's going to be on your schedule. That's possibly a third. And now Texas A&M is on the rise up. So you got to try and stay ahead of those guys too. So you're looking at four losses every year down the barrel if you do not play your best ball if you're Auburn because of the schedule. And you can't get away from it.
But I will say in conclusion, I think there's something unique about this place because I was here, 4 years ago when Auburn beat the number one team in a span of 14 days.
Yes.
They've done it before.
Yes,
there is something magical about that stadium behind us.
I agree.
And I think that this program is capable, but they have to just get.
And I think Auburn is, this is their comfort zone. When everybody's kind of overlooking them, they're maybe the underdog. This is when they come in and knock off Alabama. My senior year, we were supposed to beat Auburn. And you know what? We got blitzkrieged when we came in here. Brody Croll got sacked like 8 or 9 times. And we
was
just
it 8 or was it 11?
Mollywopped.
11? It was only 11 times.
I mean, who's counting? The guy in the blue shirt.
I'm not sure Brody can remember after that game.
It was bad.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. And but that's what happens here. And if you come in here sleepwalking, you will get handled by this Auburn crowd, the team, because this is what they live for. The fans and everybody in the state of Alabama, you know it. You win this game, you got bragging rights for the next 365 days at work and everywhere else you go.
Roman Harper from Prattville, and I know this will come as a big surprise.
And Auburn's champion. Baby.
Played at Alabama.
Auburn's champion. Thank you. You guys won every game.
We are coming back. We're live in Auburn on a gorgeous afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And back to the calls we go, and we appreciate all of you being here on a cool Friday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. Let's check out Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike.
All right. I'm from Sharon, Pennsylvania. I've been an Auburn fan since Bo Jackson's freshman year.
Okay.
And was wanting to know what you thought about the game this weekend.
Well, I think all signs point toward Alabama. I think that would be the most objective way of looking at it. But I will also say I've been in that stadium where Alabama has been a big favorite, and I've seen them lose. And in fact, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and 8 years ago, I saw that happen right before my very own eyes, just
right.
like you did.
Yes, I'm thinking Smoke Monday is going to have a big game Saturday afternoon.
Well, listen, thank you for the call. You be well, and we'll take a short break. We are live in Auburn, Alabama. 2 more hours to go right here.